You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for the big game preview, brought to you by Jack Pocket.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. That sounds nice.
You sound much better now. Now I sound lower.
Yeah, no. Now you sound bad.
Yeah.
No, you all guys right. Both still sound good to me.
All right, that's good. That's good enough. As long as I sound good to you.
I've seen a lot of my rosebuds are here. A lot of the peanuts.
Really?
A lot of peanuts and rosebuds in the building. Yeah, sure.
All right, so I'm looking at Kansas City to win this game, and here's the reasons why. I still don't think that Philadelphia has been tested. You know, the one thing that people keep telling me, well, you know, Jalen Hurts, they've only lost one game to the Commanders when he started, but their schedule, and it's not their fault, I never rip a team for an easy schedule. They play who's on the schedule. But when you look at the schedule, what really rocks your world? So the Giants are a playoff team. They beat them twice during the season and then once during the postseason. The road to the Super Bowl for them has been much easier than Kansas City's road. Much easier. I just don't think they've been tested, and we have not seen Jalen Hurts' shoulder be tested. I think that Kansas City wins this game if they could shut down the Eagles' vaunted running game and force the game into the hands of Jalen Hurts. Maybe Jalen Hurts is 100% and he proves me wrong. This is the biggest game he's ever played in. This is the third time Mahomes has been in the Super Bowl. So I lean toward Mahomes being able to get rid of the ball quickly against that vaunted rush that the Eagles have. I like the Chiefs in this game.
So I'm at the same conclusion as you, but the math we did on the paper is different. That's not how I get there. I don't feel that the game ending up in Jalen Hurts' hands is a problem. A, I don't think he's hurt. I think he's fine. B, I think he's tremendous. The reason I am leaning towards Kansas City is the second part of what you said, Patrick Mahomes. I just think that the pressure of the game, how weird, we always talk about how weird the Super Bowl is. What a strange start. I don't think there's any accounting for what it's like to walk out on that field for the first time. For Patrick Mahomes, already the third time. He's not going to feel different about this game, guys. The Super Bowl for Patrick Mahomes, it's going to feel like another playoff game. He's done this before. For that, for Travis Kelce, who just literally, it seems like no defense has a solution for, I like the Chiefs just because I think they're a team of destiny this year, but not because I think Jalen Hurts isn't ready for the moment.
Well, I've gone back and forth as well. The one thing that really blew me away over the last 2 weeks talking to our experts is none of them really seem to put any value in experience, and that kind of surprised me because I'm with you. Kansas City's been there, done that. They've won. They've lost. They know what both feels like. The preparation, the 2 weeks, all that. This is going to be the first time for Philadelphia, but nobody seems to think it's that big of a deal because at the end of the day, I guess it's just football. Jalen Hurts, yeah, you look at the numbers, don't really jump out to you. So you wonder, is that arm okay? He didn't have to throw. All right, the Giants really did not test him at all. They were able to run the ball at will, so why throw? But when he had to throw on that second play of the game, bang, 41 yards, he was able to do it, right?
That first down pickup on fourth down that essentially should have been a drop the following week in San Francisco.
Right.
That was a beautiful throw.
Right.
By
that
Hurts
was a great
well.
Throw and on that the catch that should not have been a catch. Right.
Right.
He still made the throw. It still counted. And that's a good San Francisco defense. And they didn't really have to try anything in the second half because they knew San Francisco couldn't answer with no quarterback. But the Giants' defense was good. Certainly wasn't good that day, but all season long, a pretty good defense. San Francisco, one of the best defenses. And yet they ran, they moved the ball, and were able to score. And I think they would have scored more against San Francisco if they had to. So Kansas City's defense is good, but I think the Eagles can move the ball, and I think they will. That's why I've been leaning towards Philadelphia. Really, you thought it was a joke in the beginning. But, you know, the better team looks to be Philadelphia. I understand they weren't tested, but one loss with Jalen Hurts all year. And, Peter, you'll be the first to admit the reason that loss happened is he couldn't get the ball. They weren't allowed to have the ball. Can Kansas City put together 7-8 minute drives to keep the ball out of Philadelphia's hands? Because when they have it, they will score.
Well, I think that Kansas City's game plan has to be dink and dunk because, you've got Bradbury back there. You've got a pretty good, a stout situation with the secondary. And I think that they're going to have to dink and dunk.
Well, and KC because
you got to get rid of the ball quickly because of the rush. So I think they do have a chance to have long drives.
Yeah, 79 sacks, regular season and postseason combined for Philadelphia. So they will get in your backfield, but he's elusive. You're right, they'll dink and dunk, which is conducive to long drives. The other X factor to me is nobody's had more success or gone more on fourth down than Philadelphia, like in the history of the sport.
It's insane.
It's ridiculous.
Like, what are they, 70%, 65%? Yeah,
a lot of that is just, well, hey, he's a gunslinger, right, Sirianni? No, it's all analytical. Let's be honest. All this sport has become now, it's not guts and stomach. It's analytics. So they have ways to get around all of this, and I think the reason they're so successful is how strategic they are going for it on fourth down. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I usually go with the better quarterback, so you kind of feel like, yeah, go with Mahomes. How can you go wrong? But it's hard to disrespect the Philadelphia team than when healthy. Only lost once all year long.
Well, Peter, we've got ourselves a very important Super Bowl then. Who goes into the dunk tank?
That's what it sounds like.
Right.
Sounds like Donald LaGreca is going to Philadelphia, Michael Kay is going with Kansas City.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's been revealed an hour and a half early.
Well, it's the only way to do it. We can't. This is a Super Bowl show.
Correct.
We're asking everybody who comes on, who do you like? And we're not going to tell you until 5:45.
Now, can I tell you guys a scary thought, though, that popped in my head?
Don in the dunk tank?
No, I love either of you in the dunk tank. I'll be chilling. It's what if you mentioned the idea that Jalen Hurts may not be 100%. The guy that I think there's a way higher chance is not 100% is Patrick Mahomes. Now, we all know there's a ton of moxie and a ton of guts in Patrick Mahomes. We saw him essentially end the AFC Championship game with his legs. He's that gutsy a player. But can you imagine a world in which, God forbid, he gets banged up and all of a sudden the Eagles are looking to win another straight game against a backup quarterback? Because you would all agree, Michael, if they lose Mahomes, they're not winning this game.
Mahomes is irreplaceable, and it turned out so was Brock Purdy. That's why I say their path is incredibly easy. They were playing against a team with no quarterback, and as Don said, they knew they didn't have to score. They didn't have a quarterback. Brock Purdy could not throw. The Giants just were no match for the Eagles. They lost three times to them. They were never, ever in that game. And I truly believe that if Brock Purdy stayed healthy, they would have won that game. So I think that Kansas City is better than San Francisco because Mahomes is better than Purdy.
Well, and Chad Henne knows the system. He's been in it for a few years.
Right.
The game's not over if they go to Chad Henne, but
it's over.
It's pretty over.
It's over. I mean, my pick hinges on Patrick Mahomes being at 90%. I'm curious about the coaching matchup because Andy Reid, to me, and this will not be met well, has always been just good enough to lose. He's won one Super Bowl. He's lost two. He lost all those NFC Championship games with the Eagles. He seems to get outcoached in big games. What do we know about Sirianni other than he has a very, very punchable face? He made the playoffs in his first year. He's in the Super Bowl in his second year. But is it because they have an amazing array of talent that Howie Roseman put together? Or is it because he's this genius coach? I lean toward the Roseman part of it. I'll see if Andy Reid doesn't mess this up. Andy Reid's a great offensive mind, but in big games, he comes up a little short.
Listen, it's another reason. You know, Don, to the point you were making earlier about sort of how little buzz there's been around this game the last 2 weeks, no one's really talking about Andy Reid having this sort of career-defining moment against his former team. It's pretty amazing.
And you can also make the if he loses this, he's 1-3 in Super Bowls.
It's rough.
And Patrick Mahomes is 1-2, and I think you could almost put any chance of him catching
Tom Brady,
which I think is still very, very unlikely, because what Brady did, I think, is a once-in-three-lifetime sort of thing. But if he doesn't get number two on Sunday, and then all of a sudden he's 1-2,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, if Mahomes gets this Super Bowl, he got the MVP last night.
Right.
He'd be at 2 Super Bowls and 2 MVPs in his first 6 seasons.
Right.
I don't know if that would put him technically on path to be Brady. Brady's numbers are kind of impossible. But it would put him essentially on a path to be certainly the greatest quarterback of all time, not named Tom Brady.
No, absolutely, and I think he's much more talented than Tom Brady. The things that he can do, he's much more talented.
Well, and he's going to change the game in a way. I've always compared him to Steph Curry. I think Mahomes has always been the Steph Curry of the NFL. He does things that other people have done, but he does it in a different way. I don't know that Tom Brady changed the way people play quarterback.
No.
If anything, he was a throwback to old quarterbacks who's just incredible at reading defenses and going through his reads.
It is interesting, this narrative that gets created. We were talking about with quarterbacks, Mahomes' legacy. What if he loses? He'll be 1-2 in Super Bowls. Andy Reid, he'll be 1-3 in Super Bowls. I mean, are we going to kill him for losing with Donovan McNabb as the Eagles head coach to the New England Patriots? I mean, as the head coach of Donovan McNabb in the Super Bowl,
lost
losing
by only
to the
three
Patriots.
Points.
Lost on the last second field goal. All right? Lost to Tom Brady, but more importantly, the Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense that really was all over Mahomes. I mean, Tom Landry was 2-3 in Super Bowls. Do we talk about Tom Landry's legacy? No, we talk about a Hall of Fame, great, amazing head coach. So why do we get so caught up? But listen, Belichick put up numbers that are unbelievable, right?
But how about this, Don? You would agree. I agree with you. It's stupid to not give Marv Levy the props you'd give to a Super Bowl coach who won one. I agree with you. But would you agree, if Reed gets number two, it immediately puts you in rarefied air?
Right.
Multiple Super Bowls as a head coach is not common. So he all of a sudden jumps way up on the list by getting number two.
But also, is there any indication this is it for Kansas City? Remember, there were a lot of people. Bart Scott said they weren't even going to make the playoffs this year. This was supposed to be an impossible division, and here they are in the Super Bowl again.
This is what worries me. For the rest of his career, Mahomes is going to have to deal with Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, and maybe if they straighten things out with the Chargers, they'll have to deal with Herbert as well. That's a rough road to the Super Bowl. That's why if Aaron Rodgers doesn't go to the Jets, that's the reason why. If he stays with the Packers, it's an easier route to the Super Bowl than it is in the AFC.
But, you know, and looks like Trevor Lawrence may be somebody he's going to have to deal with in the AFC. But yet still, with all those great quarterbacks, right, Burrow, who went to a Super Bowl last year, Josh Allen's great every single season, that amazing division with Carr and Herbert. We thought Russell Wilson was going to be something. Peter thought he might be able to win the MVP this year going to Denver. Who's the quarterback that navigated through it?
Mahomes.
And pretty much on one leg in the championship game, right? So I'm not quite sure that this is the last stand for Kansas City. It's still going to be tough, but I still think there's a chance that they can go back. So even if they were to lose this game, who's to say that second one for Mahomes and Reed can't be in the very near future?
Have you seen, by the way, Peter, how gorgeous Rick DiPietro is working the room? Shaking hands like he's running for office.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the man runs Long Island. This is his town.
This is his town. This is his island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the taxes that the Islanders have to pay on his salary help keep this town afloat.
Wow. And the taxes he has to pay on that salary.
Correct. So between the Islanders and Rick, we're all alive.
That's why the mayor of Farmingdale is here to correct his share. Yeah.
Trying to get a donation.
Well, that is the big game preview brought to you by Jackpocket. Powerball's $34 million. Mega Millions is $50 million. Play official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. Download the Jackpocket app. Get your first ticket free using code ESPN. Now, you must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service.
Mr. T-Bear says, Andy Reid is the Bobby Cox of the NFL.
Yeah,
much
that's
like
great.
The Chiefs are the Braves of the NFL. Tons of divisional titles. But here's the difference, right? You know, Bobby Cox had his moments in Toronto, too. But, I mean, there's something about going to 4 straight championship games, going to a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. Then he goes to Kansas City, constantly winning. Maybe it's Kansas City, guys, because before there was Andy Reid, there was Marty Schottenheimer.
That's correct.
All right?
But Reid did it. That's the difference.
Reid did finally climb the mountain.
If he gets two? I mean, if he gets two.
Hey.
Do you know what Andy Reid becomes in Kansas City lore if he gets a second Super Bowl ring?
It's so interesting, that second one, right? But really, you know, Sean Payton's getting how much money in Denver? One championship.
Right.
Right? Bill Cowher is a god in Pittsburgh. How many championships?
That's an interesting question. Now, Andy Reid wins number two, and then we find out he's available and willing to go somewhere else. How much do you think people would throw it to get it? Andy Reid.
Well, he's not going anywhere because the owner of the Chiefs is one of the richest owners in the world. So,
but do you think people would desire him in that way?
Of course they would.
Of course.
You think he'd have the Sean Payton allure, though?
I think so.
Because Payton almost has a strange allure. Like, you would think he won three Super Bowls.
I think it's over allure. I really do.
Oh, over. Like
I think
over
it's
the top.
Over the top
yeah,
allure.
Yeah, me too. The amount of money they're talking about that for Sean Payton. What did he get?
I have not read what he got, but I'm sure
it's going to be a lot.
They were saying like $25 million a year.
It's insane.
Yeah, I don't know if he got that, though.
But if he got $25 million a year, well, then if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm walking into Kraft and go, hey, partner.
Yeah, seriously. Sean Payton? Come
right. on. Sean Payton? Really? Let's go to Aaron in the car. Aaron, what's up, baby?
Michael, Don, Peter, company, how we doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. First, I want to say, listen, I got love for all three of you guys. You know, Don smoothed it out yesterday because he's a class act and a man of the people. But Peter with the double down, I got to say, I shouldn't be surprised. This is coming from a guy who delivered a low blow to a guy when he wasn't looking, followed up with a very awkward-looking pinfall, stole his championship belt just to lose it in a hotel room the next day, a championship wow. belt, I might add, that ultimately ended up in the trash can, if I'm not mistaken.
Aaron, can I take this one? Aaron, you know, I defended you yesterday, all right? But
you
I want
did.
You to know
you
that
did.
What Don did after the show was what we call in the business gutless.
Yeah.
You make a point, you stay with the point. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm a big apologizer. I wrote this
I'm
on
not. I can't even do it.
I said this on Twitter today. Someone said something about the company. I said, listen, I apologize on Hot 97 three different times this week. All I do is apologize when I get things wrong.
Who'd you tick off on Hot 97?
I'd rather not say.
Okay.
I didn't get it wrong, though. Yesterday, the reason I won't apologize to the company is because me going like this, that's not worth an apology. Do you know how many things I say in a day that are more offensive than, I'm
so
not
many.
Apologizing
so
to
So many more.
All I said was that, first of all, I wasn't gutless.
Yes, sir.
These are people that came to our 20th anniversary party, bought merchandise.
You were guilted. Let's be honest. You felt guilt.
There was a little guilt there.
A little guilt.
But also, I want to defend myself because we did not cut him off.
No, we didn't.
His biggest gripe, Aaron, was he didn't get a chance to retort. I didn't cut him off.
I cut him
off. I said that it was a joke that went sideways, and I did not cut him off.
You know why I cut him off? Because I thought it was getting ugly. And I wanted it to end.
It was not getting ugly.
It was. Don was being very personal. I thought it was time to end it. I'm just trying to save people's feelings.
Everybody's complaining that I was in a mood yesterday. You were in a mood yesterday.
Well, I had a reason to be in a mood.
You did?
I told you what the reason was.
You did?
Yeah, well, we can't go public with it.
No, I was worried about a family member who fell ill.
Oh, right. But everything's now, okay.
Everything's fine, knock on wood.
Well, you didn't even tell me that yesterday. Are we not
because
friends?
I don't want to bring you down.
Thank you.
I don't want to bring people down.
Or maybe you're not as close to Michael as I am.
That's what I'm saying. That's what makes you feel bad.
That's on the table, right, Michael?
I did not tell you either. I told you today.
Oh. You're a bad guy. Wow, Don, are you changing? Becoming a bad guy in front of my very eyes?
I didn't know. You spent time alone with Peter. I thought you had time to tell him.
Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Oh, today?
Today.
No, he told me today.
I told him
oh,
today.
Oh, I didn't.
So I guess we're even.
All right, then we're just as even. The only difference is that I come early to the show.
That's a good point, too, but you didn't find out
when
you
were early. Today you were very early, though.
Today I was early, yeah.
Hey, by the way, the people here at 317 Main made a couple of steaks for me and Don.
Yes. Yeah.
The steak was tremendous, but the thing that jumped out at me, they had two onion rings on the top of the steak. I wanted to cry. That's how good it was.
Weep-worthy?
Weep-worthy. You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea if they brought up some onion rings here.
So you're requesting
just
wow.
to play
shnurring, you're brown-shirring for onion rings on stage. Now, I had their wings. Delightful. Delightful chicken wings.
Really?
It actually wasn't really even quite chicken wings. They tasted like chicken wings, but it was like sliced pieces of chicken thigh dipped in barbecue
Look
sauce.
At you.
It was no, they did a great job.
See, I didn't try because I'm not a barbecue sauce guy. I'm a buffalo sauce guy.
I enjoy both. I'm not one of those people who passes judgment.
Really, I am.
You hate buffalo. I mean, hate barbecue.
I hate barbecue. I hate everything about barbecue.
Don't you find that weird, Don?
Very strange. I find him weird.
You cannot shoehorn another person into this place. It's an ocean of people. Here at 417 Main Street. An ocean.
It's good people.
Listen to the waves of sound from the ocean.
By the way, just out of curiosity, how many people are actually from Farmingdale?
We're okay. big in Farmingdale.
How many people came from other places on Long Island? Did anybody make a trip from the big city, Manhattan? Anybody?
Because Don needs a ride back after the
show. That is true.
Yeah.
Anybody come from Brooklyn? Queens? And how about this? Anyone come from Dirty Jersey?
Dirty Jersey?
Just you, Don.
How about Staten Island?
You don't even bother with Staten Island.
Staten Island. There's a Staten Island guy.
What do you mean you don't bother with Staten Island?
So I've hosted a lot of shows in my lifetime.
Right.
In hip-hop shows, you always play the game, where's so-and-so, who, where's this person? You always do Brooklyn last, obviously. Brooklyn's always the loudest. It's what it is. Staten Island is literally a waste of time, unless you're doing a Wu-Tang show.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's a Wu-Tang
show. When I host Wu-Tang, I say Staten Island. Otherwise, they're not there.
Also, when he hosts a Wu-Tang show, Peter works blue.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. The amount of F-bombs I drop from the second I get on stage.
You know what?
I'm like LeBron James setting the scoring record.
When you have
a child. That's how much I'm cursing.
When you have a child, you're not going to want to do that.
Well, if my child's going to a Wu-Tang concert, they deserve to hear some F-bombs. And they're going to.
Interesting.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, and we are joined right now by our good buddy Marty Lyons. Marty, first off, thank you for coming, obviously.
Yeah.
Second of all, a member of the SAC Exchange, long overdue, makes it to the Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm happy for him. He waited a long time, and to be all pro at three different positions, to accomplish what he did on the football field, Michael, was tremendous. He made every one of his teammates better just by lining up alongside of them. And I was fortunate my rookie year, he lined up inside at the defensive tackle. I was outside as the end. And then we flip-flopped. But just a tremendous talent and just a great individual, too. He cared more about the team, more about the fans, more about the organization. For him to finally get in, I think it's a celebration for all of us.
Any Joe stories that you could tell on the air?
You know, all I know is when I came in the league, you know, first-round draft choice from Alabama, I was undersized. And I went into the weight room, came out of the weight room. Joe came up to me and kind of like introduced himself formally by saying, hey, you know what, from now on, you don't leave the complex until I do. You need to get stronger because I need to play alongside of you for as long as you're here. So I went, okay, Joe, and I started to walk off, and he grabbed me and goes, where are you going? I said, well, I've already done lifting. I'm leaving. He goes, what did I just tell you?
Wow.
And from that day on, you know, Joe and I had a bond. We had a relationship, and I knew that if I got in a fight during a game, I had one guy that I could always count on. Joe Klecka was going to be in the middle of it no matter whether I was right or wrong. Number 73 was going to come in there and help me.
Now, I wonder this, and we'll talk to ask Joe about it when he gets here. The guy was an all-pro at all these positions. Why did they keep moving him around? Why didn't they just keep him where he was?
Well, I think when I first came in the league in 79, the Jets were a 3-4 defense.
Right.
Then they went to a 4-3. And then all of a sudden we got Bud Carson as our defense coordinator, and they said, hey, you know what, Joe? We can do just like we did with Mean Joe Green. We'll take you in there on the center, cock you in that A-gap, so you anticipate the snap count. You shoot that A-gap, you're in the backfield, you're disrupting everything. And Joe was a team player. Wherever you wanted Joe to play, put him there. He's going to be productive.
Amazing.
How do you feel about Don's assessment earlier that when you really think about last night with Klecko, Revis, and then, of course, the rookies of the year, Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner, it really being one of the great nights in Jet history?
I agree with Don. I think it's a great night. I think it's a reflection on where this organization is going. I think it's a reflection on Joe Douglas. He had a great draft class last year. You know, if you look at Breece Hall, and if he doesn't get hurt against Green Bay this year, Elijah Vera Tucker, he doesn't get hurt. There's two more guys on the offense that would have gone to the Pro Bowl. I think Breece Hall might have been in the running for Rookie of the Year. I think the organization is moving in the right direction, and you hope that the stability stays the same at the top. That's with Rob Saleh. That's with his coaching staff. A few pieces are getting moved in and out, and Joe Douglas. Joe, I believe, has done a great job. We still have to judge him on that one key position, which is Zach Wilson.
I was just going to say, you can get all your ducks in a row, but without the quarterback, it doesn't work. Now, you played in an era where you're probably able to make it work with okay quarterback or good quarterback, but if you don't have the great quarterback, you'll have nice seasons, but you'll never win at all.
Well, look at it this way, Don. You know, this year the Jets played four quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Four. You know, who would have thought that the first preseason game, you got Zach Wilson, he's going to run, he should have ran out of bounds, he stays in bounds against the Eagles first preseason game, and he hurts his knee. You know, and that wasn't on synthetic grass, that's natural grass, so everybody can't complain that, hey, you got your foot stuck. And then, you know, you start off against Baltimore, and then you have that great win against Cleveland in the fourth quarter, you come back, everything seemed to happen. You get on a little bit of a roll, but you know, to win and make it to the playoffs, you got to start fast, but you got to finish strong. You know, at one point, there's 7-4, six games left. I believe that people have a tendency to look down at the schedule and they'll start circling. They circle Jacksonville. They can't be that good because they weren't that good the year before. Detroit, they're not that. Next thing you know, you lose your last six games. And more importantly, you only score 15 points in the last three games. That's where your problem is. You have an elite defense. You really do at all three levels. You got Quinnen Williams. You also have C.J. Mosley. And then you have two shutdown corners, really, in Sauce Gardner. And if Sauce wasn't with the Jets, D.J. Reed would be getting a lot more credit.
All right, so are you on board with the – I mean, obviously the Jets can't say it because he's contract with another team. Are you on board going after Rodgers? Is that the guy you look at?
Well, I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at Derek Carr.
Okay.
And, you know, Lamar Jackson, anybody that would come in here and, you know, play at a high level because you have talent everywhere you look. You got a few missing pieces, Michael, at the offensive line. You got to bring in a couple more of those offensive line. But I think if you get a guy that can come in here and play at a high level, you're still in the AFC East. You still have to deal with Miami. You still have to deal with Buffalo. You still have to deal with New England and Bill Belichick. There's a lot of things that have to happen. But if you want to be good, you want to play against the best. That's the only way you're going to get better.
You know, we're only guessing. We can't get inside somebody's mind. But you're a lifelong Jet. Your number's retired. You've been honored by the organization. You work for the organization. You love this team. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I go to you, Marty, I know they got the talent. I like their coach. I just don't know, man. This team hasn't won since 68. I'm worried. Are they snake bit? Sell me on why the Jets is the place I need to go.
Well, first of all, Don, just a little correction. My number isn't retired, but thank you, though.
You know what? Maybe it should be.
I appreciate that. And second of all, if I have to sell Aaron Rodgers with everything you just asked me, I don't want him. Why should I have to sell you? You see the pieces. I got the pieces. We can help you get there, but you have to want to be here. New York is a tough place to play.
Yeah.
And just like Joe Klecko said, The New York Jet fans are very, very loyal. Look back at last year. They were given the Jets an opportunity on Thursday night against Jacksonville. Raining, cold, everything. It's the stadium's not sold out, but everybody that was there, Don, they were on their feet. They were cheering. They were behind the Jets. The Jets lose the toss. Jacksonville goes down 14 plays, a goal line stand, right? Everybody's cheering, man. You know, even though Jacksonville just ate up almost half the first quarter, the offense goes out there. First play, they lose a yard. Second play, incomplete. Third play, incomplete. Fourth down, they're punting from the back of their end zone. It's returned for a touchdown. You're down 7-0. Defense didn't allow the 7 points. Special teams did. And all of a sudden, now you lose 17-3. So yeah. Things are going to happen. I want Aaron Rodgers, if he's the one, Derek Carr, I want them to come here because they want to be a part of a rebuild program and want to be that instrumental piece to say, hey, you know what? This is what I do. I'm going to get it done.
That's the piece that's impressed me, Marty, about Daniel Jones with the Giants. I know we're not sure yet about the football part, but if you can get someone who can mentally handle New York as well as Daniel Jones has so far, we've obviously seen the struggles Zach has had on the field and off the field to some extent as well. Are you impressed at all with Jones, though? Because I think his moxie that he seems to have for New York is pretty great.
Yeah, and I think Brian did a great job, coming in there. You know, some of these players need to be coddled. Some of them need to understand that even though you're 22 and 23, Peter, you know what? You still need somebody to nurse your way through, to give you, to be a mentor, to show you how to do things. And Zach has not had that since day one. It's not his fault the Jets took him second overall. It's not his fault that, you know, unfortunately, the quarterback coach, he passes away in an accident. It's not his fault that, you know, you're looking around the room and you see Michael White, you see Josh Johnson, you see James Morgan, and then they're telling you, all right, this is what you got to do. Okay, that's what you got to do. But look back at a guy like Klecko. This is what you got to do, and this is how you got to do it, and this is what's going to happen to you. And he leads you through the process. So I'm not writing Zach off and saying, hey, he's done. I think he needs a veteran quarterback.
A professional.
A professional, but somebody to learn from. Somebody that, you know, that he can go and ask the question to and get a truthful answer.
Does that have to be a great player? We were talking earlier about Ryan Tannehill. Is someone like Tannehill enough of a seasoned pro that you could at least learn from?
Well, he's a seasoned pro, but how much has he done down there in Tennessee, too?
Not a ton.
I mean, if you're gonna swing for the fence, Michael,
no,
where are you going to go?
No, Rodgers or Carr, those are the two guys.
I like both of those.
Quickly, I confused Ring of Honor with a retired number. I just wanted to get that
right. That's
all right. You're in the Ring of Honor.
Can you hang right here because Joe Klecko is going to join us in just a moment? All right.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are here with Marty Lyons, a friend of the show, friend of the station, does such great work with the Marty Lyons Foundation. Yes. And we thank you for all the work that you do. And we've got to pick your brain now. Who do you like on Sunday?
You know what, Michael? I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think that I've always been a firm believer. If you have a good defense and a defense that can put the pressure on the quarterback, shut down the running game, I think that's an advantage. So I think the Eagles, you look at their starting four on the defense, every one of them has double digits. And I think they racked up over 70 sacks on the season. I think it's going to be a close game, but I give that little bit of edge to the Eagles. Plus, on the offensive side for the Eagles, they got three Alabama players.
Oh, there you go.
So, you know, that helps because they've been there before.
You still feel that connection to Alabama, don't you?
I do.
It's been so many years. And is it stronger than it is on the pro level? Because I've heard people say that, you know, college is different because you choose what college you go to. You don't choose what NFL team. But is Bama as strong as the Jets?
I think it's as strong as the Jets with the people that played for Coach Bryant.
Okay.
Coach Bryant created his own little fraternity. He wanted to win football games, but the one thing that Coach Bryant did was he always prepared his players to be successful, to play the game of life. He wanted everybody to, you know, remember to respect your family, respect your religion. Then he said, get an education. He said, if we have time, let's try to win some football games. And when you only lose six games in 4 years, you build a relationship. And I still have some of those close relationships from guys that I played with back from 1975 through 78. We won a national championship. We won three SEC titles.
Yeah.
And those moments, nobody can take away from you.
Now, was it a bigger deal being a big man on campus in Alabama or being a member of the New York SAC Exchange?
Well, I think the New York SAC Exchange was big, and it's something that we can look back on. And the four of us and everybody that was a part of that defense can be proud of. When you have two guys that can get to the quarterback like Joe Klecko, Mark Gastineau, and put that pressure from the outside knowing that they can only double-team one of them, then it made it pretty easy for Abdul and myself inside.
You guys were like rock stars back then.
We did have fun.
Yeah.
You know, we went down to the New York Stock Exchange. They stopped trading. We had a lot of card shows that we did, a lot of signings that we did. And, you know, still to this day, we're still getting an invitation to go and do these sports shows. So it's something to be proud of. It's another stepping stone in your life that you can look back on and be proud of. But you know what? Don't keep looking over your shoulder into the past and think it's going to help you in the future. You got to build your own future.
Whenever we have Namath on the show, we always talk about what it would mean to him to see this team make it back to the mountaintop again. What would it mean for you personally, just being so closely connected to this organization, to see them really make it, win a championship?
Well, you know what, Peter? For me, it would be great because I would feel a part of it, even though not as a player. And then I did their TV show for a while. Now Bob and I are going on our 23rd year on the radio. You feel a part of it. You feel like you're an extension of the team. And we try to be as honest and as respectful as we can every single week for every single play. But if it's a bad pass, it's a bad pass. It's a missed tackle, it's a missed tackle. But we're just an extension. And if the team wins, it makes our job a lot easier. And we can explain it better. We can celebrate it a little bit more.
And I'll tell you what, I'm not just saying this because you're here, Marty. No one's better at the game than you guys are. There's no better tandem on radio than the two of you.
I tell you, working with Bob is fantastic.
Yeah, you don't have to say anything.
You don't have to say anything because he never shuts up. We are now welcoming in a Hall of Famer.
Oh, here we go.
And that is Mr. Joe Klecko, who joins us on the show. Joe, it's Michael, Don, Peter, and also your former linemate, Marty Lyons. What has this last couple of days meant to you? I would guess it's a whirlwind, Joe.
It's been quite a rush. It's been a whirlwind also. Are you guys here, or are you back in New York?
We're in Farmingdale right now. Farmingdale, Long Island.
Oh, okay. All right. So, the whole experience and everything, you know, the Hall of Fame, just they really treat you like, you know, a prince. And everything we do is first class. And these guys, you know, we were at the Merlin Olsen luncheon today, and there was probably about 50 other Hall of Famers here besides the induction class today. And it was just, and it's so nice because really every single guy there is, you know, it's like now you have a new teammate. They're welcoming you in. It's fantastic.
And, Joe, I got a lot of phone calls today from guys like Bruce Harper, Kenny Schroy, John Nitti, everybody just calling to say, hey, if you get a chance, tell Joe congratulations. And we can't be more proud of you, Joe. Long overdue. We love you, and we respect you not just as a teammate but as an individual. So congratulations.
Well, Marty, you know how I feel about you. So, you know, I texted you this morning, you know, but, you know, coming from you, that's a heartfelt, pal. It's amazing. You know, I don't think I knew this many people. I had 107 texts this morning when I woke up, and I answered 94 of them last night. I didn't know I knew that many people.
Well, you could have stopped at 93. That was a good number.
Joe, did you ever give up hope that this was going to happen? Because it took a long time, way longer than it should have.
You know, Michael, honestly, I have a very good, you know, constitution about myself with God. And if it's my time, it's my time. And when it wouldn't happen, you know, I was fine. And Marty can tell you this because we talked about this a lot. You know, I was fine with it. I was never really anxious or, you know, never was mad or anything like that. But, you know, if it was to be, it was to be. And, man, but I tell you what, when it happened and Joe knocked on my door, and it was just, it's just so exhilarating because, you know, like they talk about, there's 29,000 people that played in the league or had something to do with playing in the league, and only 370 of them are in the Hall of Fame. That's a very minute number, but it's a real, real pleasure. It's fantastic to be talked about in that same breath.
Have you thought about the ceremonies in August? Have you thought about your speech and who will induct you?
I have thought very highly of it. And that guy sitting next to you or talking with you there, I mean, you know, he'll probably be my guy to go to. I haven't talked to him about it yet, but Marty, wow. You know, I think, you know, I've thought about my kids and other people, but I just think that it's somebody that knew me, knows me, you know, and really played alongside me. There's nothing better than that guy.
I thank you, Joe. That would be truly an honor. Everything that you said last night or to EA from the Jets about your relationship with the fans, that resonates to me because I remember when we were playing at Shea Stadium and we'd walk through the crowd, and then when we went over to Giant Stadium walking through the crowd, I think the fans meant a lot for both of us, you know, with the Klecko clan and the Lions Looney. Do you think that that's missing in today's world with the way the athletes park in the backside of the stadium? They never, you know, get a chance to mingle with the fans?
You know, I think, Marty, that's a little two-sided. I think it's because, you know, the one reason about that is, you know, people today are looking for autographs for sale. And some of these guys can just be absolute, you know, creatures on you when you leave the locker room. But the other side of it, too, is, you know, they're the people that come to pay our salaries and do it for us. And that's why I was always warm to them. You know, again, I used to spend the whole time after a game, I'd spend at Klecko's Clan until the lights went out. You know, I enjoyed it with my guys. And I don't know whether it's, you know, half of they don't have, you know, those people that want to do that with them, or, you know, fans today, a lot of these autograph seekers and stuff, they can be a little harsh on you.
I've got to ask you this, and I kind of ran it by Marty earlier. So you were great at three positions. And, I mean, that was, to me, that was your ticket into the Hall of Fame. Nobody's great at three positions. You were. But, Joe, did you ever want to tell a coach, hey, back off, just leave me in one spot?
No, actually, when I hurt my knee in 82 and I moved from end to tackle, you know, everybody's talking about I didn't have that, I lost a step. Well,
I got that back. I got quicker as the years went on. But when Bud Carson came, and Bud Carson said to me, "Joe, would you like to try nose tackle?" I says, "Well, what do you mean?" And he said, "I want to play it like this." And he put me in that cock nose stance, you know. And Joe Green did that. And you there?
Yeah,
we hear you.
Oh, okay. And Joe Green did that with the Steelers through the 70s. And I said to Bud, I had a conversation with him. I said, "Can I have freedom to do what I want there, like, you know?" And he said, "Yeah, let's see how it'll work." And, boy, I'll tell you what, it worked out fantastic. I became that cockeyed nose tackle. And even the guys, I'm walking around the Hall of Fame here, and some of the defensive tackles that are in and have talked about me here. And they go, "Boy, Joe, I tried to do that slant thing that you did, and it was something that I really perfected, and nobody really has done well with it since then."
Joe, we are so happy for you. Every time we've ever dealt with you, you've been such a class act, and that's one of the great things. You've always been a Hall of Fame person, and now you're literally in the Hall of Fame in Canton, and we couldn't be happier for you, and we want to just congratulate you.
Congratulations, Joe.
Really. Tell everybody there, you know, really, and people that are listening to you, you know, and Marty's right, hitting it on the head with the fans. The fans are what we're about. And the fans make us. They really do. I mean, Michael, the only reason you're asking me to be on air is so people will tune in to listen. And they listen because they like us. And that's why we love them. So, thanks, guys.
Congratulations, my friend. All right, when we come back, another Hall of Famer, Steve Young, will join us to break down the big game. Then later on, Aaron Boone will break down the game as well. He's been pretty good throughout the playoffs. And we thank you, Mr. Lyons, for coming by, as always.
My pleasure, Michael. I listen to you guys every day. And you know, Peter, going back and forth, I told Don today, buy the season tickets, the playoffs don't go.
Well, wow.
You know, I'm with Donnie.
That's a friend who has my back.
That's a friend.
As opposed to
You're
someone
right.
who's not as friendly.
Yeah, you know what? You hit it on both.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.